The meeting of the Veterans Subdivision will come to order, and the clerk will take the roll. We have a quorum. Someone could move the minutes from the last meeting. Representative Enzelk moves that the minutes from February 28th be moved and approved. Can I have a second?
I'll second, Mr. Chair.
Second. Any discussion? All those approved? All those in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Same sign. Motion's passed and the minutes are approved. We have today four bills up before the committee, and Representative Kath, if you could bring your House File 727 before the committee to present it to us, move it, and give us the details.
Representative Kath. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, House File 727, fairly simple piece of legislation that just looks to take the income tax subtraction for military reserve pay and just expand that to the active guard reserve income.
Representative Kath, could you move the bill?
Yep. House File, Mr. Chair, I'd ask that House File 727 be recommended to pass and be referred to the Committee on Taxes.
Thank you.
Yep. What it does, it just expands the military reserve pay, the credit that people are given for that, and move it to the active guard reserve, which is individuals who, through the military, are serving our National Guard through service of recruitment, organization, training, and the like, that really give us the top-notch programs that we see within our National Guard and ensuring that we have the most highly trained individuals within our National Guard. So it's really that expansion. I know that there are individuals here who may be able to give a little bit more in-depth as to what the services they provide, as well as what it looks like in individual communities. But for the most part here, what we're looking at is expanding something that's already in place, and for myself is kind of unclear why these individuals who are on active guard reserve, why they would not be given that same treatment. So hopefully we can get this moving and give this type of a benefit to our active guard reserves.
Thank you, Representative Kath. Are there any questions for the author? Representative Creasel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Kath, I was wondering if this also covers service members on drill status, if they do their weekend drill or their training up at Camp Ripley, if it would cover that as well.
I think, Mr. Chair, members, I think that would be something that Mr. Cleary, I don't know if you can expand upon that of exactly how the statute is defined as of now.
Yes, Mr. Chair and Representative Creasel, that's already exempted.
Okay.
As it happens, the AGR is just about the only pay that is not exempted right now, and all of those exemptions pretty much came about since 9/11, both for National Guard and Reserve serving in Minnesota in training status and so on, and those serving out of state. So this is one of the last areas.
I've been out for a bit. Thanks.
Any further questions from the committee for Representative Kath on House File 727? Representative Detmer.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Kath, thank you for bringing this, because I know the AGR personnel, they're full-time people, as you mentioned, and without those people in our Guard and Reserve units, it's pretty hard to, because they prepare the training that goes on prior to the reservists or the Guard members that come on for their weekend drills or battle assemblies, we call them now. So those people are very important to make any type of unit function well. So thank you.
Mr. Chair and Representative Detmer, thank you for the comments there, too. And that's why I think a lot of this is just an overlooked piece of legislation here, that I think that right now we have an opportunity to kind of close that. Of course, there is going to be a price tag to it, and as it goes to tax committee, I'll be working with Chair Davids to take a look at what this would be, and we will definitely examine that as we head on in the process and hopefully get this passed.
Very good. Any other questions from the committee? Anybody from the audience that would like to testify in regards to House File 727? If not, Representative Kath, would you renew your motion?
Yep. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I renew my motion that House File 727 be recommended to pass and referred to the Committee on Taxes.
Motion before us. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion passed, and you're on your way. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
The next bill on the committee is House File 687, Representative Bills, if he could come forward. Representative Bills, do you have someone that could move your bill here in committee for you?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chair, I will move Representative Bills.
Representative Driscoll, would you move the bill then for Representative Bills?
I would like to move House File 687 to be referred to for recommendation for passage and to be referred to the Tax Committee.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Committee that is before us. Representative Bills, go forward with your testimony.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. This bill is really came out of, and I'll read a couple of the summary points, but give you a little story first. I had a meeting, being from Rosemount and Apple Valley, I had a meeting with some of the Red Bulls at the Armory in Rosemount and started to think about reintegration efforts and just teaching the community and knowing a lot of former students who've served and family members. Thinking about reintegration, I just was thinking back to my uncles and great grandpa and grandpa who had all served, and you know the Moose and the Elks Club that they had all enjoyed and being a part of, and being a part of the Rosemount City Council. We had some members come in from the VFW, and they had expressed some concern about having some of the young guys come out, and just that they weren't finding that the younger gentlemen who were coming home were not joining up with the VFW as fast and frequently as in previous generations. And it kind of started me, it made me think about the efforts that we could take to reintegrate vets. And one thing that I thought of with House File 687 was just creating a refundable income tax credit for Minnesota businesses that have re-employed at any time during the year an eligible employee who has recently returned from military deployment. Just a couple of highlights here. An eligible employee is a member of the National Guard or Reserve who had been working for a Minnesota business with fewer than 100 employees or had been self-employed, was ordered into federal active service for 90 days or more, who discharged other than dishonorably from that service and was subsequently rehired by his or her former civilian employer or has returned to the person's former self-employment in a manner that fully complies with USERRA. Just two other main points off the summary was for the employer to claim the credit, the eligible employee would need to sign off attesting the employee's satisfactory return to the civilian employment. And then one other thing is the $10,000 refundable credit would be, for each self-employed individual. So it's not only for small businesses, but also for the self-employed. With that, I'll stand for questions. I do have a couple of other items written down, but I think maybe they'll come up in questioning. So.
Thank you, Representative Bills. Are there any questions from the committee on House File 687? Representative Detmer.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. And I know some of these small businesses, they are hit hard sometimes if they have 3-4 members that are working for them that are called up for active duty. Sometimes that puts a challenge for some of these small businesses when they lose their workforce. So I think this is a good thing for these small businesses if we can work this in. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any other questions from the committee? Representative Ansel.
Thank you. My good friend, Representative Bills, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Representative Ansel.
Representative Ansel, could you put your microphone down? Thank you.
Do you have any idea how many employers are going to qualify? Because that, of course, becomes the centerpiece of how much this is going to cost.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair, Representative Anzels. We did pose that question, and I think, I don't know, Mr. Cleary, if you could, it was very tough to, we talked about this and trying to estimate or guesstimate what number. I don't know if you want to speak to that.
Yes.
Mr. Cleary?
Yes, Mr. Chairman and Representative Ansel, I would agree with Representative Bills. It was very difficult to estimate that. Nina Monzi, who staffs taxes, would have a few more ideas.
But one way to think about it is the number of Minnesotans who are deployed at any one time. We'll be sending off about, I think, 2,500 here this next month or so for a year, who will be coming back a year later. Probably somewhat more, maybe 3,000 during the year. Of those, some of them work for large businesses. Large businesses are included here. It was felt that the impact would be greater on a small business than a large business, and thus the benefits were targeted toward a small business. In other cases, many of them will be going back to school, not back to their old former employment. And some who don't go to school might rather not even go back to that former employment, but might now be qualified for a better job, or might have, well, probably wouldn't have finished school in the meantime, but might have finished right before going off. So, you know, if you were to guess, purely guess, 1,000 or 500, 300, you would probably be in the ballpark.
Representative Enzo.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for the explanation. I think this is a really good idea, and to the degree of accuracy, I think it's going to be very important in continuing this forward.
Thank you, Representative Enzo. I think that, as Mr. Cleary said, I think as we get closer to the tax committee, hopefully Ms. Manzi can come up with some further clarification in the figures there. Any other questions for the author of the bill? Representative Kahn.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Bills, has any other state done anything like this?
Representative Bills.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Kahn, I have not been able to find anything, no. I was actually researching this morning and found some data on reintegration with homeless vets, but nothing of this nature.
Any further questions for the author? Representative Bills, do you have an example of a business who could benefit from this in your district?
Thank you so much, Mr. Chairman. I do have, hopefully, if we do move this through, I have a constituent who is a small business owner, also served in the first Desert Storm, and I had a chance to sit down and discuss this with him, and he will hopefully help me testify as it moves through, but he thought that it sounded like a great idea. He's also the chairman of our Yellow Ribbon. Rosemont's a Yellow Ribbon community, and he's also the chairman of that, and he thinks it would be wonderful. He operates, I believe, three different businesses in our town, so he's a very hardworking man, and that's why he was not able to be here today. So,
okay. Is there anybody in the audience that would like to testify on behalf of this bill for a representative? Colonel? Welcome.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Colonel Eric Alness, Director of Government Relations for the Minnesota National Guard. And in fact, I was pleased enough to be at that meeting with the Commanding General of the 34th ID with Representative Bills when the idea came up. And I just want to provide a little bit of information on a couple parts here. And really the key is, you know, going to war is hard, but so is coming back home afterwards. And so we found through doing studies, and the VA conducted a very good longitudinal study on our 1st Brigade soldiers who went over to Iraq for 22 months in 2005 through 2007. And one of the findings they found is if a person has a good job when they got home, something that's rewarding that they find value in, other things tend to fall in line. And I think that makes a lot of sense. But what a bill like this or other bills of this nature, what that does is really helps those service members come back to that job. And employers, they pay a price when that person leaves too. So this way, in a way, compensates that for it. So in short, we welcome initiatives that promote the reintegration of our service members and also work on helping those veterans get all the way home.
Any questions for the testifier?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative.
Thank you,
Bills.
Mr. Chair, if I could also add, and Representative Detmer hit it right on the head, there's not just the explicit costs of having something like this happen to a small firm. There's also the transaction costs, the time and effort that it takes, you know, for that small business. I understand it's very difficult when people head off to war and into active duty, but, you know, and those small businesses do want, I believe, do want to do their due diligence, and USERRA will be upheld. But it would also, I think, benefit us and help with reintegration if we could you know, give those small businesses what the large businesses benefit from, and that is that that economies of scale built in. Those large firms can help so many more soldiers and their families and do things that a small firm couldn't, and I think that this bill does that. So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Colonel Olness, from your experience with the men and women in the military, do you know approximately how many people would be affected by this, as far as even self-employed or people that are looking for jobs coming back?
Mr. Chair, I guess I would go back to Mr. Cleary's comments. It's very hard to get that kind of data. He was right on the nose as far as how many soldiers we're going to have deploying downrange just from the Minnesota Guard here over the next year. You could probably add about the same amount of people are deployed from the reserve component, maybe not at the same exact time, or are on active duty and will eventually be coming home to the state looking for that type of job as well. So it's hard to, but the only thing I could find or think in my mind is a couple years ago we passed a bill for service members who were essential employee or had their own business, and they could apply for a $20,000 loan to help sustain that business or to start up their own business. And there was enough money that we could do 20 of those loans. And it took about 18 months to get those 20 loans out, but I believe they're all out right now. So just a self-employed kind of essential business, that went pretty quick. So I think the number would be probably closer to the 300 level than the 1,000. But again, that's just an estimate based on very fragmented information.
Thank you. Any other questions for the testifier? Okay, if you could come forward. Well, Mr. Cleary, go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, just to follow up on that numerical question, I think it's correct to say that Minnesota will be sending the 3,000 or so that we quoted are going off to deployment. This is a big year, is it not? And next year, for example, might be a lot smaller, the year after.
Colonel, let's just pull up a chair right alongside there.
Mr. Chair, members, yes, the high year for us obviously was during the surge. At that point, we had about 4,200 at the high point. Right now, we're in a lull, about 300. This next year, we'll go up to about 2,500, 3,000. After that time, deployments aren't stopping, but they are going down. We don't have a projection of that number, and of course, we don't see out more than a year and a half, 2 years, but we don't see that number rising above that 3,000. I would say that's a fair assessment.
Thank you, Colonel. Sir, if you would identify yourself for the tape.
My name is Lee Larkey. I'm a certified public accountant and an enrolled agent.
If you could testify, that would be great.
I just wanted to make one point. If an employer has to get somebody else to take the place of somebody that's left to go in the military, there are costs involved with that. And then that person that was hired may have to be laid off later on when the first person comes back. That then causes unemployment compensation and all the other costs that go with the person that's been laid off. So that I'd like to say, the amount involved here certainly is reasonable when you consider the effects. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions for the testifier? Well, thank you. I appreciate you coming forward to testify. Any other questions from the committee or from the audience or for Representative Bills? House File 687? If not, Representative Driscoll? O'Driscoll?
Mr. Chair, I renew my motion to approve House File 687 and have it moved to the Tax Division.
Representative O'Driscoll moves House File 687 to be passed, recommends to pass and be moved to the Tax Committee. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion is carried. Representative Bills, you're on your way.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Committee.
You're welcome. And now we have our last two bills. We'll bring them up simultaneously. Representative Morrow and Representative Lohmer. Just pull up another chair there, Mike.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Lohmer.
Oh.
If you could move Representative Lombard, Representative Morrow's bill for us.
Okay. Mr. Chair, I move that House File 466 be recommended to pass and be referred to State Government Finance.
Okay. Representative Morrow?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, members, you'll see two identical bills in front of you, and I know you'll be moving the second bill in a moment. Mr. Chair, I'm actually going to turn to my co-author, Representative Gauthier, who will talk about the bill.
Thank you, Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm Kerry Gauthier, State Representative from District 7B in Duluth, and I am pleased to testify today on this bill. The Homeless Veterans Housing Security Act will is critical to the 4,100 homeless veterans in the state of Minnesota. What we do know is about 40% of veterans who are incarcerated when they are released are homeless, and this gets complicated with other mental health issues and substance abuse, also things such as post-traumatic stress disorder and TBI, and a lack of understanding amongst law enforcement and other service providers of what veterans are going through. It is especially important in my area where MACV has been very critical in addressing homeless veterans in the city of Duluth. And it came home to me Friday night when I was up at the university with the chancellor's dinner who was inaugurated and was told about another veteran who was foreclosed on that day and will be homeless. So we have a lot of work to do. It's a wise investment because it secures employment, and once we have a place to live, it's easier to get employment and pay taxes. It targets resources on outreach done in shelters, food shelters, and community centers, hospitals, emergency rooms, so on and so forth. I think it's a good public-private investment. It'll leverage federal dollars. MACV has a successful track record of dealing with homeless vets in the past 10 years. And I'm very proud of the work that they do in my city and in my district. So that's what I have to say, and I'll stand for questions.
Thank you, Representative Gauthier. Any questions for the testifier at this time? Other than that, we'll move to the President and CEO of MACV, Ms. Vitalis, if you could testify on behalf of the bill.
I'm Kathleen Vitalis, President CEO of Minnesota Assistance Council for Veterans. And we've done our informational hearing here where we had a PowerPoint and you've all got information prior to that. I'll bring up again just a couple of items that sets us apart when people are looking at our organization as a nonprofit. One of the keys is that we can leverage other sources of funding, as the representative just stated. And that's very important because we bring in a lot of federal dollars from federal grants for our veterans into this state. We also are very, very good, and we've been around for 20 years, and we're very good at non-duplication of services. Because where veterans are concerned, first, I get a lot of questions about, well, there are county veteran service officers. Absolutely there are. There's the veteran service organizations. There's the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. There is the family assistance centers. We have a lot of things in this state that support our veterans. But there are gaps in those services, and that's where MACV comes in to support those gaps, because primarily there are gaps in housing and utility assistance, in employment, and we pull that together for this targeted subgroup in this state, and that's what we've been very successful at doing. So I do have, whatever questions you might have today, I did bring one of our former clients and board, now board advisor. We have a veteran that was in our program. I've got staff if you're interested in hearing from somebody, or however you'd like to go, sir.
Thank you, Ms. Vitalis. Any questions from Representative Morrow? Would like to.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I would just close off by thanking the committee. I had the honor of carrying this bill in 2009 and working with Representatives Hamilton and Magnus in 2010. This has been an ongoing concern, and Ms. Vitalis and her organization have been coming back year after year, struggling. I know at one point it was $1 million, yes, and it went down to $250,000. So she has been trying her best along with the organization, to fill in the gaps, find federal and private funding as well. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Questions for Representative Detmer?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. And you might want to share with the committee, you know, what is your base funding already that you have that's a continuous base funding?
Yes.
Ms. Vitalis?
Yes. $500,000 is in the base right now. This year, last session, we got $100,000 one time. So June 30th, it goes back down to $500,000 as it sits right now, and we lose the $100,000 one time. So this request is asking to add on to that base because it is definitely a need. One point I would like, I do want to make. A lot of these bills come forward, and it's, we need this much money, or we can't do it. I'm not trying to out the gate say that I could, well, I'll just say it. Any amount of money that's added to this helps us. We can directly incorporate it into what we're doing. It's not like it's a specific project. This is adding to what we do statewide. And as I shared before last time, I looked in every county represented by all of you, and we assisted veterans and their families in those counties last year. This is truly a statewide effort of ours.
Thank you. Any further questions for Ms. Vitalis or the testifier? Anybody from the audience that would like to testify on behalf of this bill, or there's a gentleman there that would like to come down? If you could come down and state your name for the record and give us your testimony, that would be great. Could you identify yourself for the tape, please?
My name's William Neiman.
Say again, please.
William Neiman.
Thank you.
Everybody,
welcome to the committee.
Everybody knows me, calls me Leroy. I get called by my middle name. I was about 10 years ago, about 10 or 12 years ago, I went through the program MACV. I was a homeless vet that was a working vet. I was working, had three jobs, and I was, at first I was trying to get to welfare that a little bit of money, something to get me started so I have a place to stay. Well, at that time I was single, and they were more based on the family, the married couples, that kind of deal. I was unfortunately, well, single at the time, so they could not help me. At the same time, I was going through some struggles with child. I didn't know I had a child, so I was paying child support at the time, and that's why I was working those three jobs. So to have a stationary place to stay and be able to have to see my son, I would have to have a place to, where I was staying, or a permanent address, as they would say. But I could not get enough help to, even from the state, to get that. So during all that fighting over 7 years or so, because I was homeless for about 10, I stayed in a park in Minnesota. It's not a place to be sitting outside. Even though I was working, I was still was homeless. I just barely had enough money to feed myself. Some days, if I missed the churches or the free food that we have, all like 38, for instance, I would go and sneak over by McDonald's, look in their trash can to get some just enough to eat so I can make it to work the next day. So after all this fighting and just sort of surviving, I got to the point to where I was tired. I was always wet. I couldn't see there was anything for me to do. So I was sleeping in Hiawatha Park over here by the Ford Bridge, and one night I just almost gave up because I was fighting. It seemed like a no-win battle. I was trying to do the right thing. I was trying to stay out of trouble. I was trying to provide my son that I never saw. I was trying to do everything at once, but I could not get a place to stay. So when you go into that kind of depression, it's really a hurtful thing. And I've been working since I was 9 years old. I worked on my godparents' potato farm. I worked in greenhouses. When I got out of the Navy, I was working those day jobs. I worked in the slaughterhouse in South St. Paul, worked in from all the way up to cooking. But when I asked for just a little bit of help, I couldn't get it because I was single. Everybody else was getting help, but I couldn't get any help. So after years of that, I was really in the press. One night I was just got to that point where I just decided I wanted to jump the bridge. But I decided that since I'm really religious in the first place, I gave a sort of pray to my God and prayed. And the next morning, it was sort of unusual because I was sort of sitting on the rock over there looking at the Mississippi River the next day, and some guy from the woods came out and was asking me if I was a veteran. And at first, I thought he was after my vodka. So I says, who are you? And he goes, well, my name's John, and I work for MACV. How would you like three squares and a cot? Well, it didn't take much for me to say, oh, heck yeah, you know. So he told me to meet him down there in Catholic Charities, down there off of Chicago down there. And I managed to make it down there, and we sort of talked and things I had to do and like this. So they actually sent me up to St. Cloud. So that was a 28-day drying up, and they had the doctors, psychiatrists, they had all the stuff I needed to get me healthy. And then they had an outpatient thing. They were saying, well, MACV's got a training course. It's like an outpatient where we help people get back into society, make them a useful, paying, taxpaying person. Well, at first I wasn't going to say, well, I already tried that road and I was going to try that again. But something told me that day when I was shaving, I was looking in the mirror and I was shaving, and something struck me. And I said, well, that sounds like it might be possible. So they sent me down here to Minneapolis, where I stayed 47 for 2.5 years. They taught me how to do interviews, how to talk to or mingle with people. That was most of a loner, because after a while you just don't feel like you want to, hang around with anybody. They had a pilot type job program where you went out and part-time work in the VA hospital in Minneapolis down here. I did that. I started at the laundry. I started, folding washcloths. Real boring job, you could say. But I started there. I decided I always wanted to be an engineer when I was 8 years old. Always. Dreamed that all my life, but I have dyslexia. So I have a hard time looking at words and writing things. And when I write things, things come out backwards. So I was always good with my hands. I always worked with my hands. So the next move I went to housekeeping. Learned to do all the housekeeping things at the hospital and things like this. When I was there about a year and a half, they had an opening in engineering, and I wanted to just give it a try. So they tried me out for about a year, year and a half, and when that opening actually opened, I went for it. I didn't expect to have, anything, but just to get into the engineering room. I didn't care if I was, working on toilets or changing light bulbs or whatever, just as long as I can get my foot in the door. Well, it turned out that with that last interview that MACV helped me prepare, I ended up being a supervisor. I'm a 10-5 right now at the VA Medical Center. And about a year and a half ago, or 2 years, I got married. But about a year and a half after that, I bought me a house, which is out in Egan. Sits on the lake. I have two dogs, but I'm still waiting for my white picket fence. But I have two sons, two stepsons, since I can never see my real son. I got one that's in college. He's in the ROTC program. I got another one that's still in high school. He needs a little bit more coaching. But all in all, without MACV's help, I wouldn't be here today to talk to you. I can't think enough about MACV and what they have did for me and other veterans like me. And it's well worth the money that you invest, because you get 125% back. So anything I could do to promote this, you know, I would.
Thank you for your testimony. Is there any questions for the testifier? Thank you for testifying. Anybody else that would like to testify from the audience? Please come forward, state your name, and
name is Jean Lee. I'm President and Executive Director of Children's Hope International R&R Family Centers, and I also represent the Asian Pacific American Housing Consortium.
Please go ahead. Thank you for coming.
Yes. Mr. Chair, members, thank you. I should have probably requested an overview of our agencies and organizations. The Asian Pacific American Housing Consortium represents over 15 different service provider agencies and people in the housing development field and so forth. We are especially versed in serving the Asian Pacific American community, which represents over 210,000 people, 49 countries and territories, and 59 different ethnicities and cultures. Our agencies have fulfilled the gaps as far as services in a number of areas, especially in housing. I myself am a certified housing counselor and educator, and also foreclosure counselor. So the reason I mentioned that is because I'm familiar with the services that are being provided. Ours is not, I'm not here to make comment as far as MACV specifically in their request. I'm just alerting you to let you know that there are a number of other agencies out there doing very good work. And our issue had been that we were trying to work on homeless legislation policy that deals with all homelessness, and also legislation related to allowing the counselors who are certified to be able to practice in Minnesota, because currently we've been working on legislation that's preventing competition from providing counseling services to some of these people in need. And again, just to let you know that we are out here, and we hope to be working with other organizations who are also servicing veterans and the military. And so I thank you for the time. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Lee. Is there any questions for Ms. Lee? We have another gentleman that wanted. Thank you, Ms. Lee. Another gentleman that would like to testify. If you can keep it to the bill, that would be great.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, representatives. I'll make this as quick and succinct as possible. I know that we're pressed for time here.
Sir, could you identify yourself for
this?
Yes,
thank you. My name is Carney Meekins, and I'm a Vietnam-era veteran. I'm also the former chairperson for the Community Ministers Outreach Program at Central Lutheran Church. What has been said here is, to me, pretty clear. We do need funding, but we also need to do a couple of things. One is we need to network. We need to connect. We need to piggyback off of those resources, if necessary, for the purpose of the homeless individual. So it's not necessarily a duplication process that we have here. Sometimes when it comes to a healthcare process, it is necessary to replicate the service, just to be clear and succinct. Thank you for your time. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Mr. Is it Mr. Meekins?
That is M-E-E-K-I-N-S.
Meekins. Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Meekins? Any further testimony or questions concerned from the audience? Representative Anzelk?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Not a question, just, I mean, of course this is good legislation and something that should be done. But I would remind everybody here, you know, last year and the year before, we had quite a conversation with the governor regarding medical assistance, general assistance medical care. Mm-hmm. And that portion of that population that we learned was the homeless veteran population. And some of us tried to make the case that cuts to that program were critical to the homeless veteran population. And while I'm absolutely going to support and advocate and encourage this legislation to move forward, this appropriation does not affect the medical care portion of the state's response to the homeless veteran population, nor does it deal with mental illness, chemical dependency, or just basic medical care. And if we are really, really committed to this, the population of homeless veterans, we're committed to a holistic response on a macro level. So that's my sermon for the day.
Ms. Vitalis?
I just had a comment, Representative and Chairman Anderson. You're absolutely right. Direct dollars, no. But I do want to make the point that with the outreach that we do with this funding, the very first thing all of my case managers do is connect these veterans to their mental and physical health needs with the VA. So that point is that we can't stabilize them unless we address those needs first. And that is getting them connected into those systems that already will support them if you can get them there. And that's the key. And that's one of the things that we, one of the gaps that we do fill.
Any further questions for Ms. Vitalis or the testifiers here? Ms. Vitalis, I was just going to ask, how do you, as was mentioned, somebody already testified, there's other outfits out there that are working with veterans, people who are homeless. How do you compare with, like, LSS?
If you're talking about the LSS CORE program that
Correct.
Is part of the Minnesota Department
Correct.
Of Veterans Affairs, their focus and what their program is, we actually refer to them. There is the partnership that this gentleman was talking about where we don't duplicate services. We refer some of our veterans to that program. We also look at all programs that are available, like through the Department of Veterans Affairs, Minnesota, their State Soldiers Assistance Program. Is that something that could help this veteran? And then where they have gaps or where we need to fill in, we do. So we work very closely with that. It is not a duplication in that area.
Okay. Mr. Gauthier. I'll represent Gauthier.
Mr. Chair, I just want to make a point. I've been in human services for nearly 30 years now. And what I know about vets is they trust vets and other vets. And that's why this is such a core service that needs to be expanded. Doesn't do any good for me being a non-veteran to try to tell a vet who's got PTSD what he needs to do. But another veteran can do that and get him the help. And that is just really critical, and we see lots of successes in my community because it is vet to vet.
Thank you. Further comments, questions? Representative Lohmer, will you please restate your motion for Representative Morrow's bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to renew the motion that House File 466 be recommended to pass and referred to State Government Finance. And, Mr. Chair, could I also ask that House File 866, because it is identical, be moved as well to pass?
We're going to move it one at a time.
One at a time.
One
okay.
at a time.
All right.
So the bill before us right now, House File 466, has mm-hmm. been recommended to pass and be referred to State Government Finance. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. Motion is passed. Thank you, Representative Morrow. Now, Representative Lohmer, if you would move your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to move that House File 866 be recommended to pass and referred to State Government Finance.
Representative Lohmer makes a motion to that 866 be passed and be referred to State Government Finance. Any questions or comments on that? If not, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. Motion's carried. You're on your way. Thank you,
Thank
ladies
you.
And gentlemen. We got the minutes done. Stay tuned to the next few days as to what bills might be coming forward. We don't know if we've got all the requests for hearings yet. But just hang on and stay tuned to your emails. And we'll look forward to seeing you again shortly, if not next week, the week after. Any questions for the good of the whole? If not, this meeting is adjourned.